Right now, of course, time for Minnesota Reads on KUMD. Our guest this morning is John Whitman, and he has written a beautiful book called Fresh from the Garden, An Organic Guide to Growing Vegetables, Berries, and Herbs in Cold Climates. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you on the line with us this morning. Thank you. Some authors say that they write the book that they wanted to read but they couldn't find. Is that true in this case with this book that you've written?
It's very true. I've been gardening since I was a young boy, and it's always nice to have all of the information that you'd like in one place. It's a long book. It's 500 and some pages. So it's very complete, and it's what I wanted. And I think that's true, what you just said.
Now, I've got to ask you, because I always wonder about how authors envision their end product. Do authors think about where people would keep their book in their home, or do authors try to imagine in what setting a reader is sitting there and enjoying their book? And this book is, you're not taking it out to the garden with you, because
no,
it's 500, and it's, of course, beautifully illustrated, too. And so it's heavy, which is not a bad thing. I think the longer a book, the heavier the book as a general rule, the better the book. But you're not going to be taking it out to the garden necessarily. Where do you envision people sitting down and really enjoying this book?
I envision them sitting in a comfortable chair, picking out the different subjects that they're most interested in, reading those first, and then beginning to understand that there's a lot of stuff in here that they may not even have thought of. And I can see them sort of going to one of those areas, beginning to read and say, oh, that's interesting. I want them to learn a lot more than is typical in an ordinary gardening guide. This has a lot of unusual plants in it. There are 150 plant groups, such as corn and lettuce, but they're unusual plants as well, like amaranth. And I mean, it's just not your typical garden book.
So they need to be. So potential readers need to find a comfy chair, and they also need to have, no doubt, a pad of sticky notes or something, or little strips of paper, so that they can mark all of the different things that look interesting to them, or that they think they might, for example, want to try.
I think that's a great idea, and that's what I do, too. When I'm reading something, I always have a notepad with me. It's good to have a notepad in the garden, too, or a journal or something to keep track of where you're putting things. I don't do that, to be honest. I'm a little too lazy to do that, but it is a good idea, and I admire people who have the patience to do that.
Is it patience, or are avid gardeners during the winter just so desperate or anxious to be thinking about gardening that they'll sit and perhaps update a notebook or make an elaborate sketch during the winter? This is a great book to read over the winter when you're making plans for all of the wonderful stuff that you're going to have, you know, spring, summer, and fall.
Well, it's a planning guide, but it's also a nutritional guide, and I don't think a lot of people think about that. They think about how wonderful something's going to taste. But there's a lot of information on nutrition in here as well. And sometimes plants that don't taste quite as good as some others are really good in smoothies and give you a great nutritional boost. So that's one thing that other people might think about as they read through this. And then there are tons of cooking tips. So it's not a cookbook, but there's a lot of information on how to cook the various plants. And that's something else to be thinking about.
I think the addition of rhubarb to most things would make them taste better, just off the top of my head. But or any kind of fruit would make it. When are they going to make a vegetable that's good for you, that really tastes like a blueberry?
Well, I would like that, too. You know, there are berries that they say taste like blueberries and that are really hardy and that the rabbits won't eat and so on and so forth, and don't require the acidity of blueberries or the care. But I have yet to find one that is exactly like a blueberry. There's a honeyberry that's how it gets to be a great big bush. I don't have it in the guide. But it doesn't really taste the same as a blueberry. It is cold hardy, and I could have included it, but I didn't. It's one of the few plants that I decided not to include.
Maybe they need to make, like, kale or or like Brussels sprouts taste like blueberries. That's what I'm waiting for. Yes, that's what I'm waiting for. Why does the University of Minnesota waste all this time on developing good apples when they need to be developing, you know, Brussels sprouts that taste like bananas?
I don't know. We'll have to ask them, won't we?
So what did, you know, you've talked so much about the things that you want your reading audience to learn. And with all of your years of gardening, you've got a lot of information and a lot of wisdom to impart. But what did you learn working on this book? Did you discover some new things or some things that surprised you?
Well, I learned that I thought I knew more than I actually knew, which is the first thing that everybody learns when they start delving into a subject. And I kept having questions about what is organic and what isn't. And I found that there was no consensus on exactly what is organic and what isn't. I mean, there are some things that are definitely not organic, and everybody agrees on them. But there are things that are debated. And I thought that was very interesting. And to this day, I don't have an answer for that. I just, in the book, I say, look, it's controversial. It means some people believe one thing and some people believe another. That was very surprising to me. I thought, well, there would be more general agreement.
But well, they've talked about this, actually, when it comes to labeling foods and when you can label either a food or a producer, an organic producer, that there is not a strict standard and there isn't necessarily an objective standard that's laid out across the board, that there still is, even on large scale, a lot of disagreement about that.
Well, they have different categories. If something says that it's purely organic, it's got to be organic all the way through. Some things can be called natural or partially organic, and that means maybe some of the ingredients are organic. But if it's called organic, that one word, it should be organic. But again, what are you going to say is organic, and what aren't you going to say is, you know, not organic? And that's something that is puzzling to a certain degree, because there are people who can't afford to get certified. It takes a long process, and it's quite expensive. But they grow organic food, and it is organic. But and they'll call it organic, but it may not have a label that is organic on it. It may just be sold to you at a farmer's market or something like that. So it's you're just going to have to trust people, I think, to a certain degree. You can ask questions. Did you use any pesticides on the plant, for instance? I do. I don't use any. I ask the questions, but I don't use any pesticides in the garden at all, not organic pesticides and not inorganic pesticides. To me, that's truly organic. But typical mini farm, they're going to use some organic pesticides.
John, this is a fascinating book, and it's a fascinating topic. I wish we had a little bit more time to delve into it, of course, because a lot of our Northland gardeners are champing at the bit. And, of course, when you get weather like this at the end of April, all gardeners can think about is, it's cutting into my growing season.
That's exactly right. We have short growing seasons, and we have longer days, which is a benefit for some plants. So it's not that we're totally, you know, kept out of growing certain things. In fact, growing some better than they do in the South. Rhubarb, you mentioned, grows better here than it does in the South. And then we've got onions that do extremely well here and don't do well in the South. So there are some pluses. And you just have to learn to work with what you've got and be enthusiastic about it and accept the reality for what it is.
John, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. What a pleasure to talk with you.
Great talking with you, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
John Whitman is the author of a huge, gorgeous book called Fresh from the Garden, An Organic Guide to Growing Vegetables, Berries, and Herbs in Cold Climates. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD, with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.